I want to call your attention to some scripture today found in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Some things that the Apostle Paul said during his sermon at Mars Hill there in Athens. I'm going to begin reading with verse 16. Acts chapter 17, beginning with the 16th verse. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, that was for Timothy and Silas, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine, whereof thou speakest, is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now, the Apostle Paul here begins to preach. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, an Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them." And that's reading from Acts 17, verse 16, and finishing from Acts 17, verse 16, and finishing up that chapter. I want to use a title today, and that being, God will have the last word. God will have the last word. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he encountered what he did here among the Athenians, when he passed by, as he said, and beheld their devotions, and he saw all of the different altars that they had made to all of these different gods, and the one that they had made to the unknown God, the Apostle Paul began to preach, and he said, you know, this God to you who is unknown is the one that I want to talk to you about. And he began to speak to them about the true God, not a false God like what they were worshiping, but he began to speak to them about a about the true God. And some of the points that he made in speaking to them was that the God that he was talking about was the God of creation, that he was the God that was the giver and the sustainer of life. Now, you know, there's only one God that was able to do that. There's only one God that was able to create the world and create the human family and create all things in the world. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul is talking to them here as he begins to declare unto them this God, this true God. He's talking, he's letting them know, I'm talking to you about the God of creation. I'm talking to you about the God that gave us life and that also sustains our life, because it's in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. And now I've always felt, and I believe this is certainly right, and I know that there's no way it's impossible for such a thing to even happen, but you know, if God could cease to exist, so would we, because it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. And so he also tells them that the God that he is talking to them about is God that will one day, you know, call all people before him, and that they will have to stand before him in the judgment. And he says the way he speaks to them about this is that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And of course, that's talking about Jesus, the only begotten Son, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so the Apostle Paul, two key points that he makes in this sermon when he begins to declare this true and living God to them, is that the God that I'm talking about is the God that created us, and also you're going to have to stand before him one day in his judgment, in his righteous judgment. Now, I believe that the world, and that certainly there have been times, I suppose, that perhaps this eludes the minds of people more than it does at other times, but it seems to me like that more and more all the time, people just seem to forget about the idea that they're going to have to stand before God one day and be judged. And, you know, of course, I believe that there's many people that don't even believe such a thing. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference whether they believe it or not as far as it happening. It'll still happen whether they believe it or not, because God has appointed such a time. Now, you know, one thing about the judgment of God, that righteous judgment of God that's one day going to come, you know, God's not going to one day look at the world and say, well, you know, things have got so bad that I guess I'm going to have a day of judgment. The day of judgment has already been appointed. I mean, God has already determined that there's going to be a day when the human race will stand before him and be judged. In the Hebrew letter, in the 9th chapter of Hebrews in verse 27, it says there, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And so we know when the judgment that the Apostle Paul was talking about. You see, we are appointed to die. It is appointed unto all of us once to die, and it's also appointed unto us after that time to stand in God's day of judgment. These things are both appointed unto us according to the word of the Lord, and I'm convinced that both of them will take place. I'm convinced that I'm going to have to face my appointment with death, and I'm also going to have to face my appointment with the time when I stand before the Lord in His day of righteous judgment. And so it's not going to be an afterthought of God. It's something that He has already determined. It's been predetermined and it's been appointed that we stand before Him one day. And I want to speak about some of the things concerning that day and some of the reasons that the Bible tells us, that the Bible gives us concerning the reason why that God has appointed a day of judgment. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a great shock that's coming to the human race one of these days. And, there's a lot of people today that believe, obviously, they believe by their actions that they can do whatever they want and get by with it. But I'm going to tell you today, as I stand before you, that the human family is not going to get by with anything. The Bible tells us this: "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Those that sow iniquity, there's going to be a day of reaping. Those that sow in righteousness, there's going to be a day of reaping. But whatever we sow is what we will also reap. And God is going to have the last word. No matter how loud that men sound off, no matter how wicked that men try to become, God is going to have the last word in all the matters of this life. Now, I realize that it's hard for us in our human minds to comprehend such a being, but I want you to know that from the very time that God created man and all of the years that the human family has dwelt upon the earth, and however much longer that God will allow time to continue and the human race to dwell upon the earth, ever since the time that the first man lived on the earth until the time that the last person will be born into this world, and all time in between, everything that the human family has done has been observed by the all-seeing eye of the Almighty God. Everything. God has never missed one thing. I'll tell you that God could tell you right now, should He choose to do so, He could reveal unto you everything that has ever taken place in your life. God has knowledge of all of that. And if you don't believe that we have a God above us that's like that, then I would just encourage you to go read the things that David wrote in the 139th Psalm. God sees everything, God hears everything, and God knows everything. There's never been a deed that any man has done, and I'm talking about mankind. There's never been a deed that any man has committed that God did not see. There's never been a word that any person has ever spoken. I'm talking about the world over, all throughout time. There's never been a word that any person has ever spoken that God did not hear There's never been a thought that entered the mind of anybody that God did not know about. He knows everything. And, you know, we may think sometimes when we think of judgment, we may think about, you know, well, what, how is God going to do that? You know, what is he going to judge us? How is he going to judge us? We may think of God judging us, you know, just upon what we consider great big things that we may have done in this life. But Jesus said, every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I believe we're going to stand before God, just like the Bible says, and we're going to give an account to him of our entire life, of everything that we have done. I want to read some more about this in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning with the 11th verse. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." That's something in itself, isn't it? The earth and the heaven fled away from his face. "And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, I want to tell you something that I don't believe that the judgment is about. And I do not believe for one minute that the judgment is going to be about determining who goes to heaven or who goes to hell. That's going to already be determined when we stand before God and face him in the day of judgment. That will already be determined. That will be determined by what we do in this life with Jesus. And I believe that that is proven. I know that there are people that believe that they're going to have to wait until they stand before God one day in judgment to see if they have been good enough, to see if they have done enough, to see if they have followed his word closely enough to make it into heaven. But listen, that's not going to be what's determined in the day of God's righteous judgment. And I believe the Bible proves that to us in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. When Lazarus the beggar died, and when the rich man died, the Bible doesn't teach us that they waited until the day of judgment to see where they were going to go. The Bible says that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That was already determined, wasn't it? And it was determined by whether or not they were prepared for eternity. The standard by which God is going to judge the world, you know, remember, the Apostle Paul said that he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And I believe that here in the 20th chapter of Revelation, that we are told the standard by which God is going to judge us. He's going to judge us according to his word. He's not going to judge us according to what we think is right and what we think might be wrong, but God's going to judge us according to his word. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The word of God was open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Listen, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Not the book of life, but the books that he mentioned that were opened. The dead were judged by that standard according to their works. Listen. Listen to what the Hebrew writer said. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, there are some things that the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church at Corinth and in his writing to the Romans, there are some things that Paul made so clear concerning God's day of judgment that I don't know. Well, if you want to dispute them, the only way you can dispute them is just say, I don't believe the word of God, because he made it so plain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul speaking about the day of judgment, and I want you to know that he included everybody in it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now I want you to notice something here about the judgment. We've talked about the fact that it's an appointed day. Oh, we've talked about the fact that the Bible teaches us that the standard by which we will be judged is God's word. And here we see in what Paul said in his writing to the Corinthians, that we are going to be judged according to this life. What did he say? That we may give account, that we may receive the things done, how? In the body. That we may be judged according to our works done in this life. In Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, Paul said, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every knee. I'll tell you what, there may be in this life, and it's been mentioned here this morning, in this life there may truly be those who are atheists. There may be those truly in this life that really don't believe that God even exists. But I'll tell you what, there won't be any of them in eternity. God will make believers out of everybody. Now, if God has to make a believer out of them in eternity, it'll be too late to benefit them, but he'll do it just the same. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Listen, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, you know what? Sometimes, in fact, too many times, what we want to do in this life is we want to point our finger at somebody else. We want to say, look what so-and-so did. Look what so-and-so did. You know, but listen, when we stand before God in the day of judgment, I'm not going to answer for any of you. And I'm glad that I won't, because I'm going to have enough to give account for myself. But we will answer to God for who we are, for what we have done. We will give account of ourselves unto God. That's what Paul said. Is there any other way to take that? every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now listen, this bowing of the knee that God is that Paul was writing about here cannot be in time, because we know that there's people that pass through life and they never do that. They never acknowledge that. Some, as I've already said, never even acknowledge the fact that there is a God. I mean, we've known people, those of us here, we've been personally acquainted with people in this life that lived their time on earth and died and left this world and never came to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. So the bowing of the knee, for every knee, doesn't take place here, unfortunately. If they do it here, it'd be beneficial to them. But every knee will one day bow, and every tongue will one day confess to God. What are they going to confess? Well, according to Paul's writing to the Philippians, they're going to one day, every tongue is going to one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, God is going to get glory out of everyone that he's created, one way or another. He will get glory out of all the human family. He won't get pleasure out of every one of them, because the Bible tells us that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he will get his glory from everything that he has created, from every person that God has ever created. He will get glory out of them, either here or in the world to come. If those who leave the world lost and without God will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it will be to the glory of God the Father. That's what the Bible tells us. The judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, after what? After death. The judgment. Not in time. Now, that's not saying that God doesn't judge things in time, because he does. And I'll tell you what, I believe there's times, I don't know what you think about it, but I believe there's times when God is sending his judgment upon the human family and they don't even recognize it. God is judging people because of the sins in their life and because of the evil that they pursue. And God brings judgment upon people, upon cities, upon countries. God brings judgment. And oftentimes, people are so spiritually blind, they just write it off as nature or something like that. God, I'll tell you what, God judged Sodom, didn't he? He judged them. He judged Korah and his men, didn't he? He just opened up the earth and swallowed them. But he has a day that he has appointed in the which he will gather all nations before him. And he will therein that judge according to his righteousness, and we will all give account unto him for the things that we have done in the body, whether they were good or whether they were bad. Now listen, judgment is according to God's word. God's word teaches us that in order to have eternal life, that we must be born again. It teaches us that very plainly, that in order to be saved, that we've got to repent of our sins and we've got to place our trust in Christ and we've got to have a personal experience with him where we know that we have been saved and God is going to judge according to that. And so nobody will be able to stand before him and say, well, but God, you know, I was a part of a different religious belief. You know, I was raised some other way, and that's not what I believed. You know, what I did was I just tried to be a good person. But that's not according to God's word, is it? You see, we will be judged according to his word. Jesus said, spoke about that day and said, in that day, there would be many that would try to justify themselves before him by what they had done. In that day of judgment, there would be many that would say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But he will profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so, you know, people have done things throughout their life in secret. And they say, well, nobody knows about that. Oh, but they do. God knows. God knows all about it. Listen. Listen to what the Hebrew writer said. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And you know what? Listen. It doesn't really make any difference if you hide something from me, or if you hide something from somebody else. It doesn't make any difference what you hide from people, because we're not going to judge you. It's God that's going to judge. And he sees everything. And I'm telling you today that God can look at your very heart. And he knows today the condition of it. God knows the condition of your heart. I believe that, you know, this is something. Now, I'm going to challenge you. You can I believe if you do this, and I'm not really recommended it, honestly, but I believe if you do this, you'll find it's the truth. You can go turn on any given program of these, what the world is calling the televangelists, the high-powered evangelists of the day, the guys that are preaching, hoping that they'll get a big offering out of it. You can listen to their programs and you won't hear them preaching about the fact that we're going to stand before God and be judged one day. They're preaching to you nothing. They're not setting forth anything but a God of love that doesn't want anything but good for them. Well, that's true. God's a God of love. God wants good for all people, but I'm telling you, God, the Bible tells me God's a God of judgment. And he's a God of wrath upon those that don't listen to his word. He will bring his wrath upon those that don't believe in the only begotten Son of God. And, you know, these people that it's been talked about here this morning, these people that are pushing for so many immoral things in our society today, these people that are trying to get other people to just throw God's word out the window and do whatever that you want to do, and trying to impose upon society the judges that have been mentioned that have been guilty of abusive power, trying to force things upon people, trying to force things from a federal level, trying to force things upon states that they really don't want. And we don't know how that all of this is going to turn out, but I'm going to tell you what I do know. I know that according to the deeds of men, God is going to have the last word in the matter. People may think they got by with something here, but But God is seeing it all. He's seeing it all. Aren't you glad that God's willing to forgive? Because I sure would hate to stand before Him in judgment without the blood of Christ to cover my sins. I'm glad that He's willing to forgive. I'm glad that He made a way for us to be saved. But don't fool yourself. Every one of us, just like the Bible said, every one of us will give account of himself unto God. You're going to have to answer. And so am I. That's Bible. And that'll preach. And that'll stand when the world's burning. God's truth will stand when the world is burning. Let's have a song. Let's stand.